Been talking to you and with having an expectation about a transition that's going to happen in this book. A transition that's going to happen here in chapter 4. How the apostle's going to go from dealing with the church at Ephesus about church matters, church doctrine, church truths. He started off individually about talking about our calling and election and those things, how the Lord worked in eternity past on the behalf of his people. And then he took this into church things and church matters, and now a transition we're going to see that's going to come back here along the lines of what I mentioned earlier about getting down to you and where you live. Getting down to you, where you live, where you're at, your address, your soul, your life, the time of your life that you have before your Lord. The epistles of Peter, you know, he talks about living the rest of our time, not under the will of the flesh, but under the will of the Father. And so we have that aspect of our lives, that from the time the Lord saved us, living that life for the Lord. It's going to go from church issues to personal issues. Here in this verse number 17, okay, in verse number 17, the scripture says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." Empty-mindedness. Don't walk with an empty mind. But have a mind that's full, right? Have a transformed mind, right? A renewed mind. All right, we saw about that over in Romans here not too many weeks ago. Having the understanding darkened, verse 18, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Okay, so what's the contra of that? What's the counterpart of that that's happened to us? Is our understanding darkened? No, our understanding has been illuminated, right? Right? Being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them. Are we alienated? No, we're brought near. Right? Okay, I mean, understand the difference. It is a great difference from the life. They are dead. We are alive. Life of God living within us, right? Through the ignorance that is in them. Are we ignorant anymore? We were. Are we now? No. No. Do we know all things? No, we don't know everything. But as a child of God, you sure know you're alive, don't you? Yeah, you do. Sure you do. And then, as it is with children, we are admonished to the Lord and we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Maybe we grow differently, but are you growing? You need to grow. You need to be growing. If you are the Lord's, grow. You need to be growing. It's the way, it's the design that it is. Maybe different than your brothers and sisters, but evaluate your life. Are you growing in the Lord? Through the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Is our heart blind anymore? No. We've been given eyes to see. We see that we're sinners. The sinner that's dead in trespasses and sin doesn't know that he's a sinner. But the Lord came to save sinners. And so he showed us we're sinners. Our eyes are open to being a sinner. We say, yes, I am a sinner. Yes, Christ died for sinners. Yes, I believe, I trust in Christ. The Lord works in us, sends his word, sends his spirit, and we are brought from death unto life. Who being past feeling, verse number 9, had given themselves over to lasciviousness. So that's the way the Gentiles, these Gentiles, it's the way they walk, the way we used to walk, and the vanity, the emptiness of their mind, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness. Are you and I past feeling? No. We've got the sensitivity of the Spirit of God within. We can be instructed and we can be taught all things. We've got life from the one who creates life, who being past feeling had given themselves over to unto lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is lust, desire, a passion of the soul and of the body, just tenfold, hundredfold. That's what lasciviousness is. Taking things that are natural desires and then just going worse with them. Lasciviousness. That's the way that it is. God, as the scripture says in Ecclesiastes, God hath made man upright, but he sought out many inventions. There's no end to the continuing depravity of man and just going and taking sin further and further and further and further. Sin's not getting better. Sin's getting worse. That's the reason the Lord destroyed the earth and the inhabitants thereof, with the exception of Noah and his family in his day. It got wicked. Wicked, extremely wicked. And men being of one language in that day and being closer to the time of the fall, I believe, had more capacity to use the brain. Well, they say that our capacity to use our brain is like 20, 10%, something like that, somewhere in that range. I mean, what if men, apart from God, could use 90% of their brain? Things would be on fast forward. And in the day in which we live, we have a great, great speedy advancement of technology. And every time something new technology-wise comes out, there's men standing there waiting to receive it to use it for wickedness. Isn't that the way that it is? Nothing wrong with technology. Nothing wrong with the technology, but men are waiting there to take it and just promote it, just go even farther with it. It's just that way. He says, this is the way who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. What's he say here in verse 20? But ye have not so learned Christ. Amen. Ye've not learned Christ. We that are saved, those saints there at the church at Ephesus that are saved, remember this church is written to in the book of the Revelation, chapter number 2. This church, in the course of time, I don't know what the time frame is between the Apostle Paul writing to them and when the Lord reveals his revelation to the Apostle John to give to this church in Asia Minor. I don't know what the time frame is between that. But he says this same church is addressed there. He said, you've not learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him. And so you just see that if. Because see, the scripture always makes opening for professors that aren't possessors. It's not my word. It's what the Lord says. I know that very well. I was a professor and not being a possessor of salvation. I professed it. And I don't want anybody, because of me, to have any doubt of their salvation, but we do need to make our calling and election sure. We do need to know that we are in the faith. Because when this life comes to an end, there's no change in anything. Okay? And I'm talking about just from our standpoint and where we live. He says, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, like we saw in Romans 12, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Here we come to the end of the sentence that our brother is writing here to this church. And what I want us to take a look here as we embark upon these personal things, see, he's talking about folks being past feeling, lasciviousness, working uncleanness, greediness, understanding darkened. He's not talking about the whole church. He's talking about the individuals that are in the church. And he says there, we've not learned Christ. And I want us to consider as we embark on this part of this book, okay, and the things that are going to come to us, okay, in this, I want us to consider this very thing. In John chapter 14, I want you to take a look over here, and the Apostle John writing the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we embark on these things that are written here in the Scriptures, I want to deal with this thing of commandments. Okay? I've got in mind in this whole thing, sometimes it's brought up about legalism, where we're dealing with this in the book of Galatians on Wednesday night. Legalism. Those Jews there in the churches of Galatia, those that have been saved in the churches of Galatia, had taken up the Judaism way, saying that it takes Jesus Christ, repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation by Him, and circumcision, something that a man would do or add to Jesus Christ to complete salvation. That is true legalism. Legalism is not over here on the side of life of where we've been redeemed and been saved and are taught to obey the Lord. Amen. That's not legalism.
That's right.
Okay? Now, I understand that there can be those that have a legalistic attitude. I've mentioned to you in many services about how it is that I believe there are some that maybe are the Lord's or claim to be the Lord's that take a position of having to do to make God continue to love them. God loves me because He wanted to love me, not because of what I do. But now that He does love me, I love Him. And I want to please Him. Okay? And so the thing that's brought up is when holiness or sanctification is brought up and things about do's and don'ts, it can be that folks will run to a thing and say, well, that's just legalistic. Well, understand, if you're talking about legalism, you're talking about salvation.
That's right.
But we're not talking about salvation. We're past that. We're talking about being saved and living for the Lord.
Amen.
Okay? Now, I told you to turn to John 14. I want you to turn over here real quick to Exodus chapter 20. And let's read this, okay? We're talking about being saved. We weren't saved by keeping the law, and we won't be kept saved by keeping the law. Won't be. But now that we are on this side of life and living, we understand how to serve our Lord by what He's pleased by. As a child of God, do you want to disobey God? You want to sin against God? Do you? No. No. But sometimes we can sin in ignorance, can't we? Because we just don't know. It happens to us. We read this morning, we are challenged that we not sin willful either. Right? So, here, the hallmark giving the hallmark summary of the law, the Ten Commandments, God's summary about what He thinks about the relationship, and what God believes about the relationship between man and God and between men, He summarizes here in Exodus 20. And let's read it quickly. Verse number 1, God spake all these words, saying, verse number 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Is that a command of God? Yeah. Is it a good command? Mm-hmm. Are we, as His children, having been saved, are we free from that? We're not to have any other gods before Him ever, are we? Right. And when He says it, does He mean it?
Amen.
That's right. Now, in our nation, well, we do have the temptation, but it's not as great as like where Brother Burt Kraft is at. We don't have the temptation to go and buy idols and pack them up and take them home and put them in our living room or our kitchen or our bedroom or whatever. There are those that are tempted with that, but we don't have that great temptation in our nation, do we? But we do have the temptation of taking stuff or philosophy, and that's always existed, or our family or our children or our spouses, and we can take them and set them up as a god, can't we? Yeah. Yeah, we can put them, because anything that comes between us and the Lord is this next one. Verse number 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything. Don't bow down to it. Verse number 5, no idols, right? Well, we're not so tempted to have physical idols. Now, we can take stuff, but I'm talking about things that the Lord says here to bow down before. But the Apostle John at the end of First John wraps it up by says, little children, keep yourself from idols. So we're not so much tempted to have physical graven images of gods in our homes, but we may take things, I don't know if this is right, in the abstract way and put them between us and God, right? Might take our children and put them between us and God. Might take our spouse and put them between us and God. Might take something. I'm not a boater, but we'll pick on the boaters. I might take a boat, put it between me and God, right? Or my hobby, whatever it is. Might take my work. But is this good to not have any graven image or any likeness of anything? Amen. Yeah, it's good. God said it, right? Okay. Verse number 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Are we now being saved, not being Jews, the ceremonial law never having any touch or any effect on us? The closest we got to it is Jesus Christ fulfilling it for us. Okay? Are we free to go ahead and take the Lord's name in vain? Are we? Well, we shouldn't, should we? Yeah, we shouldn't take, we shouldn't speak the name of God or any reference to the name of God in any idle way. Always, when you're talking about God, make it relative to something. Just don't say, God, God. You know, don't do that. It's wicked. Don't do that. Make it relative, you know, God help me, God bless me, or the Lord did this for me, right? Goes on here in verse number 8, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Well, we know, and in the age in which we live, the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead and appeared into his church the first day of the week. And the pattern in the scripture is, with relative to his church, that we are to meet together on the first day of the week when the Lord, after his resurrection, met with his church on the first day of the week. And as the scripture, you go and take a look at the New Testament scriptures, those references to the first day of the week in the original, you take a look at that in the Greek, it's the first Sabbath. They said, this is when the Lord wants us to meet. And that's a change. And are we being saved and being set free? Are we to ignore about the day of the week that the Lord set aside for us to worship him? Are we to let that pass?
Nope.
No. Okay. Okay. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Verse number 12, honor thy father and thy mother. How about that? There's a command. Are we being saved? Are we free from not honoring our parents? No, we should well honor them, shouldn't we? It doesn't mean support them in their sin,
right?
Does it? But they are our parents, and there's many different ways. I mean, you could spend quite a bit of time talking about how to honor your folks, honor your parents. But we're here in the New Testament age, in the age of the church. We're not left off the hook of honoring our folks, are we? Because God's ordained the family, hadn't he? He ordained the order, right? Yeah. Okay. And we go on here into verse number 6. Thou shalt not kill. We understand it's talking about murder. Are we being saved here in the age of the church, the church age, and being on this side of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, or are we free to go and murder? No, by no means. By no means. Thou shalt not commit adultery. How about that? Are we free to commit adultery? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ on the Sermon on the Mount even spoke about it, didn't he? He says, understand that where that comes from, it comes from the heart. Before God, if a man lusts upon a woman that's not his wife, he's committed adultery with her already in his heart.
Right.
So that command stands, doesn't it? And is that what it is? Is it a suggestion or is it a command? It's a command. Yeah. Right. Right. And it says, thou shalt not steal. The Apostle Paul writes in the New Testament scriptures, and we know we're not off the hook on this. We shouldn't take something that's not ours, should we? If it's not ours, we did our best to teach our children, if it's not yours, don't touch it.
Right.
Leave it alone. If it's not yours, leave it alone. Ask for permission before you mess with anything that's not yours. If it's yours, it's yours. If it's not yours, it's not yours. Leave it alone, right? And then to take it, put it. I remember one time I stole a package of bubble gum with my dad. I was with my dad. Oh, man, I got that thing. I swiped that thing off the rack there and put it in my pocket, following daddy out. And it's like, why have I got this in my pocket? It plagued me. I'm glad it did plague me. I praise the Lord that it did, but I was tempted. I yielded to it. I got it. Now I wish I hadn't got it. Now what do I do with it? I was afraid to death of it. Don't steal. The Lord doesn't want stealing to be. He commands it. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. What's that talking about? Lying. It includes lying about your fishing, lying about your hunting, lying about anything. Don't lie. Don't lie. You get crowded. You've done wrong. We've all done it, right? We've sinned. We've disobeyed. And we get crowded about the truth. And then we lie. We've already messed up and not doing right and whatever it is we've not done. And then get pressed about it and then go ahead and lie. I had a child do that to me this week. Said, did you do so and so? Oh, I didn't. Got the evidence on the fingers. I said, wait a minute, I'm not going to do anything to you. I said, did you do so and so? It was an accident. I said, wait a minute, you don't have to tell me anything. Just go tell your mom and daddy. Mm-hmm. I learned that some time ago. Just to find out something's going on, you see my kids getting off into submission, getting off into some things that they shouldn't be off in, just tell them to come tell me and Clarissa, okay? Go ahead and get on them, but tell them to come tell me. That's the best way to deal with a child. That's not yours. And we should be on the watch out for one another's children. I think it's okay. I think it's good in the right way. But we shouldn't lie, should we? No. No false witness. And then down there at the end, the one the Apostle Paul said that so got him, it really cut him in half. The root of all the other ones. So you think about that. I'll leave you with that. You can take that and chew on that one for a while. But that 10th one, don't covet. Brother Nicky, I like your shirt. I should not work to take Brother Nicky's shirt from him. It's his. And that's what that covetousness is to want that shirt so much that I might lie to take it. I might steal it from him. Mm-hmm. Might hurt him. See, it just goes on and on and on. It's his shirt. Until he feels led of the Lord to give it to me, it's his. I shouldn't be looking to pry it away from him, should I? Of course, I'm going to have to lose a few pounds before I can fit in it. But see here, the commands of the Lord, the Ten Commandments. And I want you to turn now to John chapter 14. And again, don't get tied up with this thing where people want to get out of obeying the Lord for some reason, pursuing after wickedness, pursuing after sin. Well, that's just the plainness of it. After having been saved, it's not legalist to obey the Lord. It's not legalism. Legalism has to do with salvation. Look here in John 14, verse number 15. John 14, 15. Listen to this. What's it say? If you love me, keep my commandments. Wait a minute. I thought we were under grace. Yeah, we are. We are under grace. But the Lord says, still keep the commandments. Is he talking about the ceremonial law and the sacrificial law and those things? Why, no, he's not talking about that. He fulfilled all that. Amen. You and I have never been required to go and take a lamb annually or whatever rate of time to go and have that and have somebody burn it on an altar for us. We've never had that. Christ is our Passover, right? Yeah. Christ is our atonement. He's taken care of those things. But if it's moral, the Lord always has expected it, hadn't he? And he still expects it, especially from his children. All men are expected to obey. Now, we run into things where I think what it boils down to is interpretation, whether it's a command from the Lord or not. I think that's where it really gets down to it, okay? And we're not going to take a look at those things necessarily, but I just want us to take a look at this principle about what the Scripture says about we that are saved, being the children of God, having been saved by grace through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are called to obey the commandments of the Lord. Why do we keep them? I keep them so I can keep God happy with me. Wrong answer. Remember, you never did a thing to make God love you. I never did a thing to make God love me. He loved me because He wanted to love me. Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary because He loved me. Why? Because He wanted to. So that's the only answer that I can give. Because there's sure not anything in me that make Him love me, is there? No, not a thing. You know it. Go ahead and be honest. There's not a thing in me that would make God love me. There's not. And you know it's the same way for you too, isn't it? Yeah, it's just the way, it's where we are. But praise God He did. Amen? Yeah. Praise God He did. That's the blessedness of His salvation. So He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, when we take a look at that word commandments, if we take that a commandment, it's a statement. And what has happened for the Lord to utter that? When the Lord was there on Sinai, as we read over in Exodus chapter 20, and the Lord gave those 10 commandments, He gave them audibly so the nation of Israel could hear it. He spoke, didn't He? His word. His word. His commandments are those things that He has said, His word. And so, for the rest of the message, I want us to go over here to the tail end of the Bible, over here in 1 John, and further. And I just want us to take a look at a few things, just touch on a few scriptures, and just put these in here for us to consider and meditate upon during the course of the week. And as we'll come back to Ephesians and get into those things that are written there, that we understand about this thing of legalism, that legalism, the true definition of legalism is that trying to do something to be saved. We can't do anything to be saved. Salvation is by grace through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. His gospel for my soul, my sins, and my eternal life that He has given me. That's the only way. But then now as a child, the law that was showing me my guilt, or the commands, if you will, or if you will, the Word of God that showed me my guilt, yet stands now here, having been my schoolmaster, it's taught me some things of how I can obey, serve, and please my Heavenly Father and my Savior, right? Does God want the wicked to refrain from murder? Does He not want the righteous to refrain from murder? Right. He's commanded it, hadn't He? And it's not a suggestion. I say refrain, it's kind of easy, but He doesn't want it to be, does He? No. If He said it, He means it. And we don't need to, well, maybe, no, we just need to take it and believe it. Look here in 1 John chapter 2. We studied through this early on in my coming here as pastor, this book, and we just want to touch on some things here about that are said here regarding commandments. This is in the New Testament, folks. This is after the Lord Jesus Christ raised from the dead. This is when the church has been built and established and other churches are in existence, okay? So understand that these words don't come from the Old Testament, but they come over here on this side of the work of God. Look here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is a propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know Him. You ready? If, I didn't put the if in there, is if in your Bible? Yeah. If we keep His commandments. What's He say? Hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. You got to know what they are. I like it. I like that challenge to fellas that, and mostly ran into it at the jail. I said, well, how are you saved? By keeping the commandments. I said, what are they? I don't know. So, rut-row, Rastro, you got a problem. If you don't know them, how are you getting saved? Right? okay? You know, and that's just bringing them to the truth. A lot of idle words are said, but when you get down to the heart of it, they just don't want the gospel. They don't want the Lord. Hereby, and this book is written to the saved, isn't it? This isn't written to those who are not saved. This is written to the saved. Hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Enough to go and find out what they are. A conviction to take them to heart and say, if that's what Jesus says, that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm following. That's what I'm going to obey. Not worried about what you got to give up. And that a terminology that comes can come into our lives and into our mouths. Well, I got to give up that. I got to give up this. I got to give up. That isn't the attitude that we should have. Jesus wants it done or not done. That's what I need to be all about. Why? Because He loves me. I love Him. I want to obey. He knows what's best for me. I do not know. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. We come on down here to chapter number 3. And we come over here to around verse number 20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. John 3, verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. I think that's talking about that in obedience, in resign, in surrender, in submission to the Lord. When I sin against the Lord and I harbor that sin in my heart, it drives a wedge between me and my Lord and the fellowship that we have. But if I've confessed my sins and know that He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins, right, and cleanse me from all unrighteousness, I know and believe that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is well able to make it to where my sins are forgiven. See, if you have doubt about that, say, you know, I just don't know. I just don't know if His sacrifice is good enough. See, you got doubt. No, I know that it is. And the Lord said as His child that I can repent of my sins and confess it before the Lord, and He's faithful and just to forgive me. That the Lord's power is that great. That even as a child, when I've disobeyed, He'll forgive me. John has written to us about that in the first chapter here. He says, verse 21 of chapter 3, Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. See, it's all about that relationship of being a child. We got to get that in our minds. Do you serve God for what you can get? My pastor preached that a long time ago, and when he preached it, I didn't get it. Took me a while to get it. I'm a slow learner. We don't serve the Lord for what we can get. But we do need to understand as children, if we obey Him, He'll hear us.
Amen.
I didn't say it. He said it. You want your prayers to be heard? Who doesn't want their prayers to be heard? Raise your hand. Everybody wants their prayers to be heard. Don't we want our prayers heard? Sure. He says here, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments. Isn't that what that said? Let's read that again. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Brother Jim, I do not believe in a work salvation. Amen, brother, sister, I don't either. But we're not talking about salvation, folks. We're talking about being a child. Isn't that what it just said? Keep His commandments. He'll hear you. Yeah. And it's not a thing about us getting God to love us. See, get past that. Maybe you are past that, okay? But I'm just saying that there are those, I think, that live a life that because they haven't seen the Word of God and what the Scripture says, they still live, they're saved, but they're living like they're not saved. There's attributes that they still have hung on being dead in trespasses and sins. Listen, we are children, joint heirs with Christ. The whole relationship is different. And Brother Billy referred to it. We're not the off-scouring of the earth and dust and worms and that. We're not talking about self-elevation. Jesus has made us the sons of God.
Amen.
And we need to live like it, is my point.
Right.
We need to live like it. Have confidence in the Lord about it. Not pride,
right.
not confidence in self. But hear what God says. Hear what the Lord says. He says it. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments, verse 22, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son Jesus and love one another as he gave us commandment. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy might be full. Is it an option? No. Are we to be obedient in it? Yes. John chapter 4, we come on over to here. Oh, don't you love this? Listen to this. Verse number 17. Herein is our love made perfect, mature, grown up love, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. I don't understand all about what that is saying. As he is, so are we in this world. Is it talking about the Lord being a stranger to this world? Is it talking about the Lord being alive and we are alive in a world of those that are dead? Okay, I don't know all of what that is saying. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. See, we have been set free to obey. And when we obey, there's benefit and blessing in it, because the Lord has ordained that his children should be obedient.
That's right.
And there's a blessing in that.
Amen.
And it's not a trade that we're making with God. It's just the way he's built it. It's just the way he's made it. And so it's like the Lord calls us on to be in glory with him. And the rapture, he comes in the rapture. We're caught up with him in the clouds. And then wherever we land there, we land and we're there in his presence, right? And we say, well, I know I really shouldn't be here because I'm not worthy to be here. And I'm not. No, if you're there, God's put you there because of what he's done. The sins are gone.
Amen.
The condemnation is gone. The old man, the old way is gone because we've been made that way in Christ. It's God's doing. Who are we to quarrel with that? You know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? See, he says, have boldness. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son Jesus and love one another as he gave us commandment. I'm sorry, I jumped chapters. I went back, didn't I? There is no fear in love. Herein is our love made perfect, verse 17 of chapter 4. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. We belong. May the Lord help us to behave like we belong.
Amen.
There is no fear in love. We love him because he first loved us, is going to tell us. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. You love the Lord? Love him more. Obey him. And then whatever comes to pass, comes to pass. And don't sweat it. Because is he not in control? Didn't the brother preach to us, and was not the message? Understanding that all things that happen in my life are for the furtherance of the gospel. That's a long title. But isn't that the way it is in our lives? That we understand that all things that happen in my life or for the furtherance of the gospel. And just rest in that. Now, you know what? I may need you to come by and come over by the house sometime, or here at the church services. I may need you to remind me of that someday. But we need to have boldness in the Lord. Not being cocky, not being heady or high-minded, but to love the Lord and not fear, not take up that spirit of fear, but to love him, to obey him. Because fear hath torment. Verse number 18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, and it does, doesn't it? Because when you're afraid of something happening, something bad happening. something bad happening. Somebody that's wrestling about being saved and they've not come to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're talking their way through it and trying to gain a confidence and an assurance of a salvation some other way, there's always that plague and fear. What if this isn't it? What if this isn't it? You know how I know that? Because that's where I lived for a long time. What if this isn't it? What if this isn't it? That's fear. And it'll torment you to death. I mean, it'll just torment you and torment. But in love, there is no fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We need to mature. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that hateth loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. We are given the commandment to love our neighbor as ourself. I find that very much a challenge. But nevertheless, that's the commandment. But if one stands up, a brother, or one that stands up that says, I've repented of my sins, the Lord Jesus Christ saved my soul, I am his, I'm to love him. Now, if he transgresses against me, I'm to forgive him, aren't I? Yeah. But am I to honor him and everything? Not necessarily. If he says he's my brother, then I'm to love him. I'm to do everything in the world that I can do for him. When he's down, I need to lift him up. But if he's found disobedient, or if he's found sinful, I need to guard against being partaker of his sin and iniquity. You see what I'm saying? We can love our brother and sister in Christ, but not condone their wickedness and their sin. I want you to love me always. When I get off in wickedness and sin, you should not condone it.
Amen.
Understand the difference.
Right.
Lord, be my helper. If I take this blessed call of the Lord into the ministry and into the pastorate of Olmsted Baptist Church, and I get off into sin and wickedness and all that, I need you to love me. I need you to pray for me. But the honor, whatever respect, whatever blessing that I've earned as being faithful in the ministry, if I sell that out to sin, just because you forgive me and just because you love me doesn't mean that's restored. You understand what I'm saying? Because honor is earned. Respect is earned. But love is owed. You hear? We owe it to one another to love one another. Okay? There's confusion about that. And if you have a question about that, we can talk about that. But here he says, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. We've been through the things that we've been through as a church. And those that have gone on and left us, we need to love them. We need to love them. And you know what? You will show that you love them when you pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. I beg of you, pray for them. May God help us that we pray for them. Because when you're praying for somebody, you find it very hard to be hateful or mean or ugly toward them. Pray for them. Pray one for another. And pray the Lord's biggest, best blessing upon them. The Lord won't bless when wickedness is being pursued. But when wickedness is being pursued, is it not a blessing to be turned from that wickedness and turned unto that which is right? See? We're not talking about blessing sin, but to bless with truth, bless with help, and love them. Respect and honor may be lost, but we do owe it to our brothers and sisters in Christ to love them. It goes on in chapter 5, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. Isn't that what it says? By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For the child of God, for me, when I've got my heart right, the commandment of the Lord that comes to me that I did not know, but then that comes to me and that I learn, because it's from the Lord and it's out of His Word, it is His Word, He's spoken it. And maybe I didn't know it before, maybe I was ignorant and I just didn't know it, but now I know this commandment, this thing that I'm just talking about how it is that we learn and we grow. This thing comes to me, and because I love the Lord, it's not grievous. I just go ahead and say, yes, Lord. That's what You want. That's what I'm going to do. Lord, that's what You want. That's what I'm going to quit doing. Whatever it is. Why? Because of love. I love Him. He loves me. And because of that, I sure love Him. And I show Him and show the world that I love Him. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. We love the brethren. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. See, not obeying the Lord is going to make me quarrelsome against you. You know what? Because when the light of your obedience shines on the darkness of my disobedience, it's going to make me grouchy. Right. Because there's light in every one of us. We're saved. We got the Lord Jesus in it, the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord in our hearts. The light's shining. Let your loins be girt about and your lamps burning. Yeah. But when I obey the Lord, I don't have any guilt about disobeying the Lord. My brothers and sisters in Christ and the blessing of the righteousness of their obedience isn't going to rub me wrong. I enjoy being around my brothers and sisters in Christ. This is the love of God, verse 3. We keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 2 John chapter 1, quickly. 2 John, here in verse number 4. I rejoice greatly, the apostle writes, that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we received a commandment from the Father. What? The commandment is, walk in truth. Are you walking in truth? If you're not, get on about doing it. As we received commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, is not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment that ye, as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. This is love. Walk in the commandments of the Lord. A few more verses I want to take a look at, but we're going to just save those for next time that we might be able to look at this thing in whole. I want to remind you that James says that faith, he says, you say you've got faith without works, I'll show you my faith by my works. And again, that's not works to make God love us. It's not a finishing or a helping out of our salvation or redemption. Not a trade that we make with God in any way. We do God good, He does us good. No. Because the Lord saved us and made us His own. Because He loved us with an everlasting love. Because He's made us and taken us from being a subject of the kingdom to being a son. Amen. Now we live there in that love of God for us. And may the Lord help us that we avail ourselves to obedience of our Lord. To serve Him well. To give Him, as the brother preached this past week, to give Him our all. To give it all and live it all for Him. As we saw in the scriptures this morning, that we give our life for Him, not for ourselves. but live it for Him in every way. And keep His commandments. Not to keep Him loving us. But don't you want the Lord, when He considers and looks upon you as His child, as His son, don't you want the Lord to smile on you? Little Joseph, as he's growing up, when even as little as he is, he's going to have a birthday here soon. He's almost 1 year old. When he sees Stephen and Natalie smiling at him, if unless he's sick or something's wrong with him, he smiles back, doesn't he? He enjoys the smile of his parents. But at his age, when he sees that they got a frown on their face because he's disobedient or getting into something, or even if granddaddy or pop, I'll drag pop into it, if we're frowning at him. Last Sunday in the prayer class, Stephen was holding him and he was getting all fussy. And I didn't even have my glasses on, so I can really see the expression of his face. But I just motioned over to him and went, shh. And you know what he did? He may not understood everything that was up, but he knew something was up and he knew it was different. He didn't smile. It took him a while for him to cut a shine to try to get me involved with his carrying on over there. But when I went, shh, and had that stern look towards him, he cowered down. Don't you want the Lord? You're His child. You're secure in Christ. Don't you want the Lord, when He looks on you, to smile? Yeah. Oh, and I understand. We fall short. We're not perfect yet, other than the inner man. The new man doesn't sin. Isn't that, that's what the Bible says? The new man doesn't sin. This old man sins. This old flesh, this old mind sins. But the new man doesn't sin before God. Yeah. Consider that. Consider that. Not to be proud, not to be heady, not to be high-minded, but to understand and be comfortable. To be bold in the Lord. Thankful to be His child. And seek to obey Him. He might smile upon us. You know why? Because when there's the smile, when there's that grinning going back and forth, the fellowship's good, isn't it? It's good. It's sweet. It's blessed. I appreciate your attention. And if you're here and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need Him in the worst way. You need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and faith. Receive the Lord on His terms, not your terms, not your doubt, not your thinking, not your way that makes more sense to you, not your way of salvation that makes more sense to you, but to receive the Lord on His terms, His way. You're a sinner, you're guilty, you're damned in and of yourself, you are guilty, condemned, and damned, and on your way to hell. Repent. And believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that when He came, He lived, He suffered, bled, and died, was buried, and rose again from the dead for you and your sin, your soul. Trust in Him. He is trustable, isn't He? Every brother or sister here that's saved will say amen to that. He is trustable, isn't He? He is. Trust Him.